Your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And let me, if I could rename this sermon again, this is what I'd say. Are you a good neighbor? That'd be another way to put it. You heard Al say that here this morning. And so let's read the Word of God together and get the gist of what Jesus is trying to teach us today through this parable. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've opened your word this morning, may you just bring it to life and may it speak to us today. Lord, may the story that Jesus tells resonate in our lives. May you give us understanding. And Lord, through that understanding, may your Spirit open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to receive your word today. And Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here that that will happen. Lord, I also pray that you fill me with that same Spirit and that these words are your words. And as they leave my mouth, may they just fall on open ears and hearts and minds. And Jesus, I pray, amen.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
How many of you remember Fred Rogers? It's a little bit of an older cartoon or not, whatever, the show that he had on. How many of you knew that he's an ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church? Anybody know that? Yes, he's a fully ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church, which is the same doctrine as the Reformed Church carries as well. And he left ministry to begin and start this show. And his heart was to change people's lives for the better. And you've seen the requests that he had in here that this morning as he sung that song. And so I want you to think about this question. Notice he says in the song, "I want to have a neighbor just like you." It's a pretty big question when you think about it. So what kind of neighbor are you? Good question, isn't it? Especially as we look at this text here this morning and in the Word of God as it speaks to us about the Good Samaritan. What should a godly neighbor look like? Maybe we could define that a little bit this morning as well as you think about that in your mind. What does God call us to be and how to act in the world that we live in today as believers in Christ? How often do we miss the opportunity to be a neighbor? So we'll look into these questions this morning through the parable of the Good Samaritan. Also, I want you to note within these verses, as I read to you this morning, there are two distinct and separate stories in this parable. If you notice, the first one is about the lawyer. Just the first couple of verses that I read to you. And he asked the question, what do I need to do to receive eternal life? And then it led into the parable, which is the second story in this message today, in the text which we read. The first story involves the lawyer asking the question of Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the lawyer, notice he's someone that is very good in the law, and so you need to understand a little bit about who this person is. And so he is associated with the Pharisees. He's part of the Jews. He understood biblical law well. He understood the 740-some rules that they had. He knew them by heart. He had them all memorized. He's the religious expert, it says. But his motives are all wrong. His intent was to trap Jesus, to back him into the corner, to get him to say something that was against the law. Hopefully, being able to declare Jesus a hypocrite or a heretic, somebody that was untruthful, was his goal. And what this lawyer is really asking is, how do I escape hell? I don't want to go there. That's really what he's asking Jesus to do. And so you might ask that same question this morning as you live out this life. Really, how do I escape hell? Because none of us want to go there. And so Jesus asked him, you know the law. How do you read it? More or less, how do you interpret it is what he's asking him. What do you understand about the law? And so he recites it back to him in verse 27. And I'm going to read that back to you this morning. Notice we read it in the Ten Commandments as well today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. We get that. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responded to this lawyer, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. And the lawyer responded, then who's my neighbor? Here's the problem with this first story that we need to understand. The lawyer knew it, but he never asked it of Jesus. And this is the problem. You and I, the lawyer, everyone upon this earth is sinful. It is impossible for you to love like Jesus wants you to love, like God put in those Ten Commandments, that you should love the Lord your God with all your strength, your mind, your soul, your ability. You can't do that. You will try, and you must try, but you are not perfect. Your love will not be perfect in a sinful world. And then it says, you need to love your neighbor as thyself. You will not make that either. It's impossible. You will fall short. You will make mistakes. And so what the attorney, the lawyer, should have asked Jesus is, I'm unable to do this. How can I enter the kingdom of heaven like this then? And Jesus sort of jumped right into a conversation with this lawyer and says, you know what you need? Is you need forgiveness and you need grace. And it's going to be by the blood of myself on the cross that will bring you salvation. But the lawyer never asked that question. How many of you have been there in your own life? You know what it takes, but in reality, you can't do it. And so you need to ask yourself that same question this morning that the lawyer found himself in. So that's the first story that you hear this morning, and I want to lay that and get that out there because that's so important that you need to have Jesus in your life because you won't be able to make this happen without him. It's impossible. It's only by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus moves on, and he leads to this parable. And he's trying to give this lawyer some understanding of this is what it should look like to love your neighbor. And so he asks, well, then who's my neighbor? Good question. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's look at the people that are involved in this story. You know that there's some robbers that are hiding out in the hills somewhere that robbed this man. That's easy to understand. There's the man who is beaten and robbed that's laying on the ground that's left for half dead. You know he's in the story. You have a priest and you have a Levite. Both of them, by the way, are Jews. Probably, presumably, his own kind. More than likely, this man that's on the road is a Jew as well. And they pass him by. For whatever reason, we don't know. We can assume some things, but they don't help. Maybe they're too busy. Don't want to interfere. I have important business maybe to take care of in Jericho as they're traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho or whatever it might be. Maybe they're afraid that they too will get robbed, so they just want to get out of the area. Possibly, maybe they have no compassion for those who are hurting and need help. We get that. That's how the story goes. This is who is involved in the story. And then Jesus says the unthinkable, and he crosses all the lines, culturally, biblically, whatever, and he says, then there was a Samaritan. Now hold on to that thought for just a moment. We'll dive into that way deeper here shortly. But a Samaritan man stopped, and he helped the man. But Jesus uses this story to ask the question of the lawyer. When he's done explaining this parable to this lawyer, he asks the question like this. Who is the one who acts neighborly? Totally different question, isn't it? Notice he doesn't ask, who is your neighbor? Who acts neighborly? That's what the text reads. Big difference in those two questions as you think about your own life. And so let's put it into our terms. And maybe how we might act or we might think of this. So we might ask, whom should I love? Or we might ask, how many should I love? Who should they be and how many should I love? And this is what Jesus says. Ask the question to you and I this morning. Pretty simple and straightforward. Do you love? Period. Never mind whom, never mind how many, do you love? You see, our sinful nature wants to always confine the meaning of neighbor. If you think about that in your life, we like to define who our neighbor is, don't we? And who we associate with and so on and so on. And we'll look at that here in just a little bit. But if we are to love and not worry about the whom or how many, why don't we live that way in our lives? So I'm going to stretch you a little bit here this morning with this parable in our own life, because I was definitely stretched this past week as I was writing this sermon. You know, the guy who writes the sermon is always the first one who gets charged and gets convicted of maybe the way that I should live my life, and I hope that it convicts you the same way this morning. Because most of the world that we live in today, and probably a lot of believers that sit in churches as well today, live like the priest and the Levite. When it comes to that question, do you love? And so what are we going to change in our own lives to live like the Samaritan that Jesus calls us to live like? And you'll understand why in just a little bit when I talk about the Samaritan and what those people were like and how they got along. You see, the Samaritan was not hindered by legal application of the law. The lawyer, the Levite, probably were hindered by the law. Remember, there are many laws that the Pharisees had and so on. You see, the Samaritan, he was not bound by the law of God. He just loved. He loved. He never used Scripture to limit his love for others. 1 Corinthians 13, if you read that, it's the love chapter, and it says, and their love is not self-seeking. See, he approached the situation. It was not about him. What if we were to live and be the same way? The lawyer, the Levite, the priest, all used the law as an excuse not to help him. They were so hung up on the law and the rules that they followed, it limited their ability to be who Christ wanted them to be. When it came to love. Now, if there would have been a law that went something like this, if thou shalt see a man lying half dead on the wayside, thou shalt not pass him by. Then they might have stopped, because they were required to stop. You see, but that's not love. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. The point is that every sufferer who we can assist is our neighbor. That's the point of Jesus. And this is where we usually come up with our excuses of why we can't help out. This is where you'll start to confine yourself. You start to draw lines in the way maybe the person who it is or whatever. So when opportunity presents itself in your life, we need to act or we dishonor God. What is your image today as a Christian in this world? The world hates you today. Even in the United States, a lot of people don't care for Christians anymore. Do you think things might change if we were to love the way Jesus loved people? When opportunity presents itself, we need to act or we dishonor God. Now, that can be a pretty hard thing to do. And so just hold on to that for a minute, that thought. Another thing that might have hindered the Samaritan from acting neighborly could have been nationality, race, and religion. Notice that it said it could have hindered, but it didn't. The Jews hated the Samaritans. And so you need to know what's going on in the culture and the history of this nation so you have some understanding of what happened back then. Now, the Samaritans were a group of people that they were a half-breed, is what they became, of Jews and Assyrians, because there was a war 750 years before this whole story of Jesus came out. And so the Assyrians moved into the upper part of Israel, and they married Jews, and they commingled, and they became half-breeds, and their worship was tainted with some false worship and so on, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. They would have nothing to do with them because they weren't true Jewish people. And there's many things that play into this story that are way too numerous to talk about. But the two clans, they hated each other. You might be able to associate some things today with what's going on in our world with people groups as well. So the Jews detested the Samaritans. The Jews, if you were to notice, if you still have your Bible open towards the end of that passage that I read you, notice how the lawyer answered the question that Jesus asked him. Who is neighborly? And he said, the one that acted neighborly. You see, he wasn't even allowed to say the word Samaritan because it was so dishonorable. Do you see where Jesus crossed the lines in the story? And he said, there's a Jew on the ground. Two Jews passed you by. I know you hate the Samaritans, but guess what? The Samaritan came and helped. Crosses all lines, doesn't it? In culture, in the way people treated each other. Think about the world we live in today. The Jews wouldn't even step foot on their ground. They'd walk miles and miles around not to go through their country or whatever, just to get to where they needed to go. Some of you know this because we learned this in Sunday night Bible study last year about how the Samaritans and Jews, they never got along. They hated each other. And when Jesus traveled to his disciples, he didn't go around. He went right through the heart of the Samaritan countryside. Do you see how the lawyer can find his meaning of neighbor? He didn't want to go there. Do you do the same thing in your life? Jesus describes our neighbor as everyone whom Jesus places in our lives. Now, we are quick to help family. We are quick to help friends. We're quick to help church family. We're quick to help those we know from our community. But we are also quick to judge. Judge others with excuses or maybe the way that they might live their lives because it's not like yours. Maybe because their value system is a little bit different than yours. And so we draw the line, don't we? Well, that's not my neighbor. I can't help them. Look how they're living. And here's what Jesus says to you. When you start to draw those lines and you start to judge those people, do you love? That's it. No strings attached. Do you love? That's broad. It's wide. It's all inclusive when it comes to loving your neighbor. You don't get to pick and choose who your neighbors are. We'd like to. You know, we have that saying about family and friends, right? You can't pick your family, but you can choose your friends. And we laugh about that from time to time. But it's so true in Scripture. You don't get to pick your neighbors. God will send people right into your life, and he sits in before you, and then this is what he does. He sits and he waits for you to respond. What are you going to do? Let me bring up some current events this morning. And I'm not playing Democrat or Republican or taking a side. I want you to think about these migrant caravans that have been moving through Mexico and that are pushing up against our southern border. What does a neighbor look like in that situation? What does God tell us we should do? I want you to wrestle with that. I don't want you to take a side. I'm not going to take a side. But I want you to wrestle in the context of when Jesus says the Good Samaritan, he says, do you love? What does that truly look like in the world that we live in? Because that's what God laid out before us. And we know that the Bible is the rule of the land that we live in as Christians. Wrestle with that. Notice the fourth commandment that you read this morning. It speaks about the alien within your gate. Somebody from the outside coming in that maybe doesn't quite fit in. How should you treat that alien? Wrestle with that. Theologically, what do you do with those types of situations that we come across? See, those are tough things to deal with, and there's not a right or wrong answer, but what is your heart telling you? What is Jesus pulling you towards and trying to teach you how you should live your life? And by all means, you're not going to make the perfect choice or the right answer all the time. Here's the last point that I want to make with you this morning. Acting neighborly is of great personal inconvenience to you. If you're going to act neighborly and you're going to treat people that the way God wants you to treat them, it is going to be of great personal inconvenience. Now notice the story that you read this morning. The inconvenience of the Samaritan experienced was a huge amount of time and probably quite a bit of money was given to care for this. Notice he stayed overnight. He put him up in the inn. Already, you know, he's at least a day behind taking care of this person. Notice that he gives up 2 denarii. How much is a denarii worth? What is it? Remember from our previous lessons, a denarii equals what for pay? 1 day. A denarii equals 1 day of pay. And he gives the innkeeper 2 denarii and says that you need to care for this man for a while. And by the way, if it takes you more than these 2 denarii, and by the way, 2 denarii in that time would have paid for several days of room and board for this person that was beaten. Several days. How much would it cost for you to put somebody up in the Canton Motel for several days and take care of his room and board? That's what this Samaritan did for somebody that hated him, his enemy more or less. If you compare that in today's terms. So here's the point that I want to make with you today. Today, most of us are reluctant to give those two up. Time, money. Right? We hold on to that dearly. One of the most protected things that I see in the church today is that when people come to me and I ask them to do something, or people or groups are inviting them in, they say, I don't have time. It's the biggest excuse I hear. I don't have time. But I see it in Scripture over and over and over. If you're going to sacrifice and you're going to follow the Lord, He expects your time. He wants that. What about the money part? Most of you are willing to give up money. But not all of you. In this story, notice we see both. The Samaritan gave time and he gave money. Let me go just a little bit deeper with that this morning. Would you do that? Would you give time and would you give money? Now, some of you are there, some of you are not, but this is probably the norm for most of us. Some of you would give money to buy your way out of the situation that you wouldn't have to show up and help. Am I right? See, some of you will give the money so you don't have to show up and to work or to help out in that situation. And so Jesus asks you then, if that's your motive and that's your heart, do you love? And I need to be honest with you, the answer is, nope, you don't love. That's your excuse because you don't have the time to deal with the problem that's before you. Now flip the picture with me this morning. How many of you would give time because you don't want to give money? That's the other side of the story that we look at today. And so let's say that you're willing to come, but you don't want to give of your money, but you're willing to give of your time. And maybe because you financially can't afford it, and that's different here, but most of us are not in that situation. And so when you come because you don't want to give the money, because you don't want to part with it, then you need to ask yourself the same question, do you love? Jesus asks you that. And so and if your reasoning is, well, I don't want to part with my money, but I'll give, the answer is no, you don't love. That might sound harsh today, but that's the reality of the parable that we're talking about here. See, the Samaritan gave to his enemy of not only his money, but also his time. He did both. And so we see that picture in Scripture about how we should live our lives. That's the example that Jesus gives us. It's not easy. Some of you are doing that, and I praise you for doing that. Some of you are a ways off yet. Some of you are on one side or the other, and you need to figure out how to bring that together in the way that you live your life. Let me make this statement to you today. We are not true followers of Christ until we are ready to give up whatever is needed for time and money when God places opportunities before you and I. Did you hear that? You are not a true follower of Christ until you've opened the door to your time and your money to the full purposes of God that He puts before you in your life. That's what I was convicted by this past week. I'm betting that you're probably convicted the same way. He wants my time and He wants my money? And the answer to that is yes. And guess what? With a cheerful heart, with love, He says, that's how I want you to live. Who's your neighbor? Everyone who God places in your life. Exactly. Exactly. That's your neighbor. It's broad and it's wide. And that brings me all the way back around to this question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's what Jesus just explained to us in this parable. Your neighbor is everyone whom God puts in your life. And He expects you to give of your time and your money to build the kingdom of God. If you were to go to Matthew 25, verses 34 and 36, I'm going to read these to you this morning. And if you got your outline, you can write it on there. But see, it describes the neighbor to us of who God places in our lives. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. That's your neighbor. When I read the word sick there this morning, you know, you looked after me. I mean, that can be physically sick. That can even be spiritually sick. That you bring wise counsel to a friend or somebody that God's placed into your life and you give of your time and your money to do that. Now, what can that look like sometimes? That might mean taking a day off work. You give up your pay for that day to help this person out. See, that's giving of your time and your money. Willing to sacrifice. God's wondering, are you willing to go there? See, the lawyer asked that question. And then he wanted to justify himself. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, certainly not everyone. You know, I can't do all that. And Jesus says, yep, that's what I expect. So let me ask you some questions then as a follow-up to this today. What areas of your life do you need to work on? And what areas of your life do you need to make some changes to act neighborly? Like Jesus is talking about. To love one another with no strings attached. Notice I didn't say that they would be perfect people or that they might come to you and they might be in a very sinful situation. But you're still called to love. Like Jesus wants you to love. And all of God's people said,